Nah, give me about 1 minute. Amen. Thank you, Vicky. Good morning. Man, I pray everybody is doing well on this beautiful Lord's Day. I mean, He's blessed us in so many ways. We've had the options and opportunities to be able to get up and to see Him and, you know, to walk and to talk and to be able to pray to Him. And all I can say is God is good. And all the time. I want you to hold that thought. We're going to be talking about that just a little bit later on as well. But look around, give somebody a wave that says, hey, man, I really am glad that you are here today. And I look forward to having a chance to shake your hand or hug your neck or whatever it may be. And man, what a blessing it is to be with God's people in God's house. If you are joining us online today, we welcome you as well. Our own Dr. John Cazito is out today, but I believe we will have somebody else that's there. If you have questions, we can answer for you. Be sure to let us know. And as always, we thank you for taking the time to join us, whether it's live today or whether it's through a rebroadcast throughout the week. So thank you so much for taking this opportunity to gather with us in spirit and in truth. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time today. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful, we're thankful for the many, many blessings that that you bestow upon us. And Lord, the privilege that we have to be able to be here in your house today. Lord, I pray that we won't let the moment slip by. I pray that, Father, as we have come to a worship service, that we will truly understand the concept of what worship is all about. I pray that today, Father, that every aspect and every single thing that we do is held up today as worship to you. Father, that there are so many ways that we can worship you, and I pray that we will see that today. Father, I know that many times we come into your house with heavy hearts, Lord, many situations and decisions that need to be made that are weighing heavy on us. I pray that you will give us the moment of peace today as we're in your house and in your presence, Lord, that we might truly concentrate upon hearing what the Spirit will say to us today. And Lord, we're grateful that your word truly is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is meant for us exactly where we are today. So may we truly be looking for the blessing that you have in each and every one of our hearts and our lives, that we can go away from this place saying it has truly been good to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, as always, we ask that if there is one that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today your scripture would convict their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would give them the strength, Lord, to call upon your name, Lord, to cry out, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I thank you for what Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross. And Lord, I pray that you'll save my soul. And then, Father, we pray that you'll help them to live as a child of the King. What a glorious blessing that is. So, Lord, work in each and every aspect of what we do today. And, Lord, may we truly end this day saying it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Enjoying this cool weather. Please stand and join me as we sing 581. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves.
Have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, find
because he lives.
I was dead in the grave.
I was covered in sin and shame. I heard mercy call my name.
Choir, let me mention while Vicky's over there already, but we're starting up practice again this week. Today at 4:45, we've got new music. Love to have folks. First of all, I'd like to thank the choir who's hung in there through the summer without rehearsals, and we come in each week and sing for you. So I really appreciate that, and just look forward to see if anybody wants to just come check it out today. I was thinking you could even just sit out there and listen if you want, but we hope you'll join us up here, and that's today at 4:45. Our next hymn is 405, Have Faith in God.
Have faith in God.
today we're going to be looking at passages that deal exactly about what we have been lifting our voices in song and praising our Heavenly Father today. But if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts, chapter 16. You know, I've thought about the fact that in life's journey of faith, there are moments when we feel triumphant. There are moments when we can rejoice, while there are other times when it just seems to feel like it is a complete uphill battle, even to be able to whisper, hallelujah. And we just sang about that just moments ago. And as I thought about these times, there were two particular things that struck me over this past week that really led me to our particular passage of Scripture today. And one of those was to think about exactly what that's like. I mean, I know that there are days in everyone's life, if you have followed Jesus for any amount of time in your life, there are days when it's easy to come in and sing, hallelujah. There are days when all seems right with the world. You know, God is good, things are fine, you know, there's no issues. But then there are days when it just feels like there's no way you can get an hallelujah out. Amen? There are days when you know that you need to be praising God, and you're just like, I don't want to do that. Now, sometimes it's, I don't want to do that. Sometimes it's, I don't feel like I can do that. I'm weak. I'm tired. I'm weary. And you know, it just seems like there are times when your hand could be lifted up in praise and you could reach the heavens. And at other times, they feel so heavy, you can't seem to even be able to get that hand up in praise whatsoever. You know, when these things happen, it should be a reminder to us of the powerful act of worship that often comes out of deep struggles and deep perseverance. You know, this past week, again, I was thinking about some folks that had essentially been testimonies of this in my own life. I can still remember and I can still see his face, the times that being over in Cuba and going to a particular church. And there was a guy that I asked about mainly because you could hear him. And I mean, when they had a church service over there, there's like, I mean, they're packed in, there's bunches of people. But, yeah, you'd get to preaching and you would hit something. I call it the delayed reaction because I would be preaching it and saying it, and then Jose would be translating it. And then all of a sudden you would hear, hallelujah! And I mean, often, and this guy, through praise and worship songs, I mean, I thought he was literally going to touch the bottoms of the heaven. I thought, this is one of the happiest, you know, Christian people I have ever seen in my life. And I ask about this guy, you know, after several different years of going and encountering this man, I said, that guy is happy. And I asked Jose, and he said, well, let me tell you his story. So he began to tell me about everything this man had been through. And I was like, wow. I mean, through persecution for being a Christian, through being put in prison, to his family hating him because he was no longer a follower of the Communist Party, but he was a God-seeker, God-follower, to the point that his own family even tried to kill him. His own family. And he put his trust in God. He lost so many things, and what he didn't lose, he didn't have. And yet, he would stand there in worship through song and through word, and he would say, hallelujah, with his hands lifted high. I thought about just this past week, yeah, Sandra's niece, and a very interesting thing that took place with her, and some of you may know, some of you may not, but her niece and family were part of the devastation of Hurricane Helene. Their house was flooded, and, you know, it was very interesting that even Sandra had sent me a video of her niece, but as they had the opportunity to start to to get back to, you know, to the house. When the house was being built, they had actually, her niece had taken markers and written scriptures on the subflooring of the house, all over the place. Now, of course, subflooring means just that. It means it gets covered up with flooring later on or what have you. But the video actually expressed as they had gotten in there, gotten through the mud and the crud, and the floors had been picked up. Guess what was exposed? The subflooring. And guess what she was met with? The scriptures that she had written years ago that said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What a great reminder. What a great opportunity that in the midst of the deepest, darkest days, in the midst of things just coming apart and seems like they're going awry, to be able to sit back and raise up a hand and say, "Hallelujah." And some days, that's easier than others. Now, I wanted to... You know me, I'm that guy. So I thought, you know what, as I've been thinking about that, as the Lord's impressed that upon my heart, and as I've been thinking about it, I said, I want to look at what a definition of hallelujah really is. The definition of hallelujah in the Bible, hallelujah is a Hebrew term that translates to praise the Lord. That's what that means. And then when you sit there and you start to apply that in these situations, how hard is it to say, praise the Lord, when your house has been destroyed? When your family is trying to kill you? When everything around you seems to be going awry? How difficult is it to say, praise the Lord, with the right heart? You see, sometimes we're good actors. Sometimes we put up a facade. Sometimes we walk into the house of the Lord and we will sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But it's not coming from here, it's coming from here. There are days when it seems so difficult and you wonder, Lord, where are you in the midst of my circumstances? Hallelujah is translated to praise the Lord or praise Yahweh. It's a joyful exclamation of praise and worship directed toward God. And I'm reading this as a definition. Hallelujah is not just a word, but an expression of deep reverence and celebration of God's attributes and actions. It signifies a joyful acknowledgement of God's sovereignty and a declaration of His glory. So now that we understand what that means, when somebody says, hallelujah, it carried me back to that guy, hallelujah! It carried me back to the times of all the things he had gone through. He had every reason in the world to be sitting there grumpy. He had every reason to look a lot like we look at times. Even when we're in the midst of worship. Today, I pray that you came here to praise the Lord, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your situations. Today, we want to explore a familiar passage, but I pray that we do so with a different light. As we think about what it means to lift up a hallelujah, there's also a worship song that I heard this past week that simply said, that talked about offering to the Lord the hard-fought, basically a hard-fought, heartfelt hallelujah, even in the midst of everything. A hard-fought, been-through-hell hallelujah, but also a hard-fought, it-is-well hallelujah. We have preached for years at Central Baptist Church on the fact that we cannot allow our circumstances to dictate our faith. You see, because if our faith wavers, it's up and it's down based on our ever-changing circumstances, then Satan gets a foothold in your life. If he knows that all he has to do to make you mad, upset, angry, or have your arms folded, especially towards God, then I promise you, He'll put things in your life. He will allow situations to come into your life to distract you from God Almighty and distract you from praising Him. Now, my question is simply this. Have we allowed Him to do that? Have we allowed Him to bring us down? Have we allowed Him to say, well, you know what? There were a lot better days. You know what? There may have been better days in your life, but let me make you a promise. There are better days ahead through Christ in all situations. Look with me, if you would, at our scripture today. It comes from Acts chapter 16, and there's a lot of them today because I want you to have the whole story. I'm not just going to pull this one part of it out, but I want you to see the progression of what happened in the life of Paul and Silas. When things went from good to what seemed to be bad. Acts chapter 16, we're going to begin reading with verse 16. It says, "Now it happened as we went to pray that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. And this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.'" Verse 18, "And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed." Think about that for a minute. I want to let that soak in. Paul, the preacher, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. "But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods." It's getting heavy now, isn't it? Verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks." You can see how this situation is deteriorating for Paul and Silas. Verse 25, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of that night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household." Now, many times that's where we will stop the story, but let's go on and see how the story ends. Verse 35, "And when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers saying, 'Let those men go.' So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul and Silas. The magistrates, have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, you know, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now, do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out of here. Paul's standing up here a little bit. Oh, no, no, no. You're not just going to cut us. No. Yeah, we were innocent. They did all this stuff. You tell them to come down here and tell us in person. We want to see them. We want a face-to-face. We want to see them eye to eye. So verse 38 says, and the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, again, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the fact of what you teach us. And Lord, today, I know that there are people within the sound of my voice that can truly lift up a high hand hallelujah to you. But Lord, I also know that there are people within the sound of my voice that it's going to take everything they've got. And Lord, I pray that you will be with them. I pray that their focus would be upon you today, that it might truly be a heartfelt hallelujah in your presence, no matter what. Lord, I pray that you will use me for these moments as your messenger today. Lord, help me lift you up, that as you're lifted up high, others may see you, others may know you, others may draw close to you. And Lord, we just ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So when we look at the context of these particular passages, we find that the Apostle Paul and Silas find themselves in a very challenging situation. Maybe we have referred to our situations that way at times, and we said, well, you know, life is challenging at this point. But see what they were doing. They were out spreading the gospel, and they encounter this slave girl that the word tells us has a spirit of divination. Now, the interesting part about it was, I don't believe, this part is the gospel according to Roy, I don't believe that her masters really cared that much about her. What I believe they really cared about was the fact that they could make money off of her because of her divination skills, and that's what made them mad. That's what, when all of a sudden their slave girl was healed of the demon, their gravy train was gone. So that made them mad. It's like, oh, Paul and Silas, you done took my money. You done got in my pocket. So let's go have them arrested. It was retribution towards Paul and Silas of them being taken before the magistrates and these things being said to them. So after casting out this spirit, you know, Paul and Silas are accused and they're imprisoned falsely by the local authorities. Yet in this situation comes a very, very powerful testimony. Now, one of the things that we have to understand is that often our worship, now pay careful attention to this, we don't like this part, but often our worship is birthed in times when we are overwhelmed and times when we are struggling. Amen? It's those times when I say it like this, those are the attention getters that God will use in our lives to bring us close to Him. But it depends on our perspective. You see, I believe in life today that too many times we have the wrong perspective when it comes down to these challenging situations in our lives today. You know why? Because what we usually wind up doing, we wind up getting mad. Isn't that the first thing? Now, let's be honest. A lot of us will go on a tirade. Sometimes it's to God, sometimes it's to ourselves. Let me kind of give you an example. It goes a little something like this. God, I've been praying. I cannot believe that this has happened to me. And what is the matter with you? Everything has been going good. I feel like my biblical walk has been good. I don't deserve this. Why is it that I'm having to go through this? This is going to cost me thousands of dollars. This is going to cost me. I don't even know what's taking place. I don't even know what. Have you ever been there? You've been on that tirade. And really what you've been doing is you have kind of been taking it out on God under the auspice of, I don't deserve this. I'm one of your children. Where are you? I don't hear you. I don't like this. Now, remember what I've been saying for years. The way we feel about our God should never be based on our ever-changing circumstances. God is God in the calm, and God is God in the storm. I kind of like, I don't want to say I like it because I've had to live it before. But what Job said when he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We like it when the Lord giveth. We don't like it when the Lord taketh away, right? And what happens is we kind of get mad. Well, God, why'd you take that away from me? Well, Lord, why'd this happen? Lord, why did I lose my job? Best job I've ever had. Lord, why are my circumstances the way they are? Are you praising God in the middle of those things? Are you being able to lift up a hallelujah and truly say, praise God? The real answer to that often is no. Most of the time we're like, I ain't doing it. I'm going to be at church because if not, Judy's going to call me. Judy's going to know I'm not there. But and preacher, it's not you. I'm just having some problems with God right now. Sometimes we do that. But those when worship really hits home is often when we're in the midst of the struggles. But guess what else we find out? How is the gold purified when it's tried by the fire? And when you go through the fire, when those circumstances and situations go through the fire, and you can still say, no matter what happens, I am going to praise God. I'm going to lift my hands held high regardless of the personal loss, regardless of what's going on. God is still there. He is still on the throne, and I am still going to praise Him. You come out the other side refined and pure, tried by God to see some incredible things happen. Sometimes we have some what seems to be overwhelming struggles. Paul and Silas are now in physical chains. You know, if anybody ever had a point to be able to say, look, man, I am not preaching anymore. Every time I go out and preach the gospel, this is what happens. Lord, this don't sound like what I signed up for. Matter of fact, we just did a really good thing for you, God. You know, in your name, we asked that demon to come out of that girl. She's well now. She's going to have a life of her own. And what do we get for it? Look at my back. They have put stripes on my back. By the way, folks, let me tell you something. Sometimes going through the fire is painful. Sometimes there will be stripes laid on your back. What will you do in the process? Paul could have said, look, man, look at what we've gone through. And now, because we were doing what you told us to do, my back is sore and bleeding. I am in the center of the prison. I have shackles on my hands and my feet. Lord, I'm not happy with you right now. How many of y'all have ever said that to God? Come on, be honest. You've ever said, Lord, I'm not happy with you right now. I don't like what's going on. The rest of y'all ain't living right. You ain't never been through a situation then, because I think all of us have, if we've been through it. And we're like, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand. We're doing good. We're doing what's right. I don't deserve to be in this situation. Now, Paul and Silas, by the way, misery loves company, doesn't it? And Paul had Silas, and Silas had Paul. Let me tell you what the Word of God doesn't say. It doesn't say that Paul and Silas sit, you know, back striped in shackles in the center of that prison, you know, downing God. It doesn't say that they were even talking trash about the guys that took them to the magistrates. There are so many things. He could have said, well, I'll tell you what, if it just hadn't been for that guy being, those two guys being there and seeing them, we wouldn't be where we are today. If we would have just been careful, if we would have just done this, and if we would have just done that, and we all do that, we have the, if we would have just moments in our lives. If we'd have just not done this, or if we would have just done that. That's not what they were doing. I want you to understand something. That they weren't sitting there griping to each other in the center of that prison. But what does it say? It says that at midnight, Paul and Silas did what? They sang hymns. Why were they singing hymns? To praise the Lord. Why do you think we just sang a few songs a minute ago? I've said this so many times, you know it. I don't need filler. I preach all day. And some of y'all go, I know. But I can. No. It was to bring you into the spirit of worship. Because sometimes being able to express what and who you are to the Lord in song is sometimes like an outline for us, even when we don't feel like it. Did you understand what we sang just a moment ago? Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. And what did we say the definition of alleluia was? Praise God. Did you realize that you were singing praise God, praise God, praise God? And listen, it is acceptable in his heart and in his mind. And in his world, when you do that, and let me tell you something. Be careful. Make note of this. If you don't get anything else, remember this today. When you do that, God always, always responds. How did he respond to Paul and Silas? I don't know what hymn they were singing. I'm sure it wasn't in our Baptist hymnal. But think about it for just a minute. Imagine Paul and Silas, man. They can't lean back against the rocks because their back's been split open. They're hurting. They're in chains. They can't go very far. And could you imagine Paul being there starting off with, we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread good tidings all around. And the prisoners are going, I'm sure at first they're like, what has this cat got going on over there that I don't have over here? Because it's damp, it's musty, we can't move. And Silas joins in, and we got a duet going. We got some hymns going, and all the prisoners are listening. Guess what that means? That means that all the prisoners are also being ministered to. I don't think that Paul and Silas were doing that as a show. I think that they were in the midst of a situation where they needed God, and they felt like not only is he our anchor, he is our ship, and we are going to sail with him. So if I can shift my focus from my issues to my Savior, it's going to look a lot different. And boy, did it look different. I could just imagine the Lord listening to those hymns and saying, you know what, boys? Y'all probably would sound a little better in your worship if you could stand up. So let me just shake the ground here a little bit. Let's just shake off those shackles. And let's just shake all these cell doors open and everything else. And let's have us a revival. And that's what they did. Because, you know, what's so interesting about that is after the earthquake, I'm sure that the guard was going, well, that was weird. I better go check on the prisoners. Because that guard's life depended on whether or not every single one of those prisoners was there. Listen, they didn't play back then. He wasn't going to get written up if a prisoner escaped. He wasn't going to be talked to by the boss if a prisoner escaped. Guess what was going to happen? He was going to die. That was the penalty for losing a prisoner while it was on your watch. So he goes down there and he sees this prison. Every single door on it's open. I don't know how many there were, But every single cell door is open. And this guy's thinking, I'm done. They're gone. And it says in the word that he took his sword out. He figures, I'm going to die. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die my own way. I'm going to die at my hand because I know they're going to kill me. So he's getting ready to run himself through with the sword. And Paul's like, whoa, stop. Whoa, stop that, what you're doing. You don't need to do that. We're all here. Did you get that? Not just Paul and Silas are here. We are all here. I believe with all my heart that prison was filled with murderers, criminals, thieves, everything you could imagine. That given the opportunity, when the doors would be open, they would have taken off. But something amazing had taken place. And you know what it was? God showed up. And they wanted to be in his presence. They felt like, well, you know what? I'm not going anywhere. This is one of the greatest worship experiences I have ever had in my life. And I'm not leaving this meeting. I don't care if the doors are open or not. They can just hand me my piece of bread and my cup of water in the morning without having to reach it through the bars. I don't know what that was like. But in the midst of the hardship, Paul and Silas chose to worship. And the point I'm trying to make is simply this, that when we do that, God always responds to our praise. I've shared with you before, I can still remember a time, I'm really not musical. I love to be, and I wish I could sing. I can't, but I am truly a joyful noise kind of person. But the Lord has even confirmed that a joyful noise is something great in his presence because I've had those days in my life when I'm just like, I don't even want to get the day started. You ever have those? It's like, you know, it's just been a bad day. It's just been things that are going on. And you know what, Lord? I don't even want to pray right now. I don't even want to talk to you right now. You ever had those days? Come on, be honest. You ever had those days? Yeah, and it's like, I don't want to do it. I don't. And then I can still remember one of those that very vivid moments, kind of like a Paul and Silas moment. I was like, Lord, I'm nasty. I haven't had coffee. I haven't had a shower. I don't want to talk to you. God's like, okay. And I remember getting in the shower and remembering why I was taking a shower. A song that we sing a lot around here. It's part of the reason why it's very special to me. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Why that came to mind, that's a God thing. Because all of a sudden it became real. That God was in the shower. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. He is here with me right now. And as I began to just sing that song in my head, all of a sudden it started going from my head to coming out of my mouth, but from my head and my mouth it also trickled down to my heart. And before that shower was over with, it was one of the greatest worship moments in my life, when I didn't even want to, because I was calling a heartfelt hallelujah to the Father. Now, I know a lot of you are going through what would be titled hell on earth. And as that praise and worship song says, you can bring your hard-fought, heartfelt, been-through-hell hallelujah into the presence of the Master. He goes on and he says, you need to bring your storm-tossed, torn sail story to tell, hallelujah. And finally, you can bring your heartfelt, it is well, hallelujah. Is it well with your soul? No matter what, the times when the tears have fallen from your eyes, have you said, Lord,
Help me to raise my hands a little. They're heavy today, but help me get them a little higher. Lord, when I can't even get a word out of my mouth, help me to be able to lift up a hand in praise and change my life. I promise you he'll respond. I promise he'll respond. Paul and Silas sitting in prison, they were not despairing. They weren't sitting in there worrying about what was going on. They weren't sitting there going, Silas wasn't going, Paul, what do you think you're going to do to us? Silas, do you think they're going to kill us tomorrow? What do you think is going to happen? No, that's not what they were doing. They said, you know what? I don't have a problem. God's got a problem. And you know what? God also has an answer. So here's what we're going to do. In the midst of everything, in the midst of the ashes of what's going on, I am going to bring my heartfelt hallelujah into the presence of the Master. And I'm going to allow him to change my life. And he will. Like Paul and Silas, our faith and our worship can also inspire those around us. Man, I don't know why those guys, well, I mean, I do know why. I don't know what they were singing, but whatever it was so impressive to those other prisoners that they didn't leave when they could. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's a miracle in and of itself. I mean, that's just another place where God's got his hand on it. But you walking through the fires, you being refined by God, there are other people that are watching and you have a story to tell. Just like my boy in Cuba. Hallelujah! If most people don't know his story, but when you hear his story, you're sitting there going, man, that guy's got to be tough as nails. His own family tried to kill him because he trusted in Jesus, and yet he still says, hallelujah, praise God. He's lost everything, lives in a cardboard box, and he still says, hallelujah. Boy, that's a testimony right there, isn't it? And sometimes we get mad at God because our piece of cake didn't have icing on it. Think about it for a minute. Think about it. We're telling the story of God's faithfulness when we praise him. I pray that the next time you open your mouth and your voice comes out in song, that you will remember what we're talking about right here. That when you lift your heart to the Master, that you're truly lifting your heart to the Master, not just your voice. And even when it's hard for your voice to come out, keep singing. Yet when it's hard for your hands to come up, keep pushing them a little bit higher, a little bit stronger, because God will break through in the midst of that situation. When we present our been through hell hallelujahs, whether we feel it or not, praising God can break down personal walls of pride that you and I have. It can draw us close to him, and it illustrates the all-encompassing, faithful. God is faithful, is he not? How many times have we said that? God, you're faithful. You're faithful. Faithful in whatever I'm feeling and faithful in whatever I'm facing. You're faithful. That doesn't mean we always like it. Hard-fought praise holds immense power. Are you hearing me today? It holds immense power. It acknowledges God's sovereignty and God's goodness beyond anything that you and I can understand. You know, I don't want to say I quit trying to understand God, but I quit trying to figure it all out when God said something. You ever gotten to that point in your life? See, a lot of times we're like kids. How many of y'all had kids? You remember, there was an age that they went through where everything was why. Hey, listen, I want you to clean up your room. Why? Well, because I asked you to. Why? Y'all remember that? Yeah, sometimes we go through that with God.
Roy, I want you to do this. Why? Because I ask you to. Well, I mean, there's more to it than that. God's got a plan. He always does. Nowadays, I sit back, and that's what I think, not always what I say. Roy, God says, Roy, do this. And I'm like, okay. Because I know that I'm probably not going to get the answer. The answer's probably going to come down the road. And the way the answer's going to come is when I do what God's told me to do. How many times are we delaying what God wants to do in our lives because we're too busy going, why? What's going on? What do we want to do? Why don't you give me the whole roadmap? Why don't you show me all this? Why don't you show me that? Listen, just go. And when it's so difficult, when the tears are falling out of your eyes, you praise God. You lift your hallelujah with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. And I promise you, God will show up and change your life. Paul and Silas's experience encourages us to offer God our praise in every season. It's easy to do it when things are going good. It's tough. When it's difficult, it's harder to do. But in every season, may our praise be the same to Him. May it be quality. May it be worthy. And let us remember that God is truly patient. And God is truly gracious, and He will transform our trials into testimonies. Isn't that something else? Testimonies. You know what the problem with testimonies are? And some of y'all are going, there's a problem with testimonies? Yeah, there is. You know what the problem is? We don't seem to tell them. Remember the old days when you'd have testimony services? And it would start off, and somebody would tell their story, and it would inspire someone else to tell their story, and you'd be sitting back going, I didn't know that about that person. I didn't know that they lost a teenager in a car accident. I didn't know all that. Listen, that's not something that people just go out and tell all the time, but others need to hear your story where you've been through the fire. They need to hear that somebody's been through what they've been through and survived. And not only survived, but thrived. You've heard me say that one of the things I love, this is the way I witness to people. I love it. Because I get a chance to talk to them, and I'll just ask them. See, I don't know how to do all this two-step secret thing or manipulation of the mind. I just ask somebody to tell me their story. When I was in Texas, a lady saw my, I think I mentioned it to y'all, I was walking back, I'd been up to the convenience store to get me a few drinks and some chips for the hotel room, and was walking in a bad part of town, I'm a genius, and there was a homeless lady, and I had, y'all have seen my pink shirt, right? Some of y'all give me a hard time about it, but y'all have seen my pink shirt, and she saw my I had my pink shirt on. And she said to me, she was sitting over at a Panera Bread at the outside thing. And she said, hey, mister, I just want you to know I like that shirt. I said, well, thank you. And then the Lord just stopped me right there. So I went over and walked over and said, well, let me introduce myself. I said, my name's Roy. What's yours? And she told me her name was Teresa. And I said, well, with Teresa, I said, everybody has a story. I said, are you willing to tell me your story? I said, how did you get to where you are right now? Because she told me she was homeless. I said, how'd you get here? Everybody's got a story. I said, would you tell me your story? She said, yeah, I'll tell you my story. I said, well, hold on a minute. First of all, let's do this. I said, I hadn't had lunch and neither have you. I said, how about I go in, I get us some lunch, and you tell me your story. And she did. And she said, yeah, it's the first time I've eaten in 3 days. I said, I felt bad because I'm like, I can't say that. It's about the first time I'd eaten in 3 hours. And yet she shared her story with me. And I got to share mine.
and at the little table outside the Panera Bread in Dallas, Texas, Teresa asked Jesus to come into her heart. All because of my pink shirt, for those of you who make fun of me about it. But no, that was a divine appointment. They're all around us. See, I needed to hear her story, and her story brought tears to my eyes. And it was ironic that she realized, maybe for the first time in a long time, somebody cared about her enough to hear her. And I said, you know what, I wish I could do something to help you out, Teresa. I said, I'm not even from here. I'm from the East Coast. I said, but I'm gonna try to see if there's some ways. I said, are you willing to try to do what it takes to get off of the street? And she said, I am. And I said, well, let me give your name to a local church and have them contact you. And then I did something incredible. I did. I gave the name to a church. But you know what else I did? I told the guy before I left, I said, I'm going to call you back and find out how she's doing. You know why? Because too many things tend to fall through the cracks that are important. And I said, so I'm going to call you back and ask you how Teresa's doing. And Teresa's had her ups and downs, but she's still professing Jesus. And guess what else she's doing? She's telling those around her her story about the guy in the pink shirt that told her about Jesus. What's your story? You know, those hard-fought, been-through-hell hallelujahs make up your testimony. Use them specifically for that. Let's remember that God is patient, that God is gracious, transforming our trials into testimonies that we can use for His honor and for His glory. Now, the thing about it is, we have to first of all know Him. I am convinced that in our society today that there's a lot of people who profess Jesus, but they have no idea what they're talking about. Because, see, society's led people to believe that it's about something you do rather than about someone you know. Oh, well, I talked to the preacher. I prayed with him. I checked the box on the card. I did this, and I read that. No. Do you know Jesus? Do you walk with Him? Do you talk with Him? He's a great conversationalist. Or is your worship mechanical? I show up at church on Sunday. I'm a good person, so I'm going to heaven. Nope. Good church-going people go to hell too. I'm begging you today, listen to the Holy Spirit in your life. If there is conviction in there, if you feel like you got heartburn real bad all of a sudden, it ain't heartburn, it's called conviction. And the Lord is saying there's some things you need to do. Brad, you guys come on up. But I'm desperate. Yeah, I think we should be desperate to share Jesus with people to the point where they know Him. They're going to spend eternity in heaven with Him. And if that's you, I'm going to simply ask you, right, stop what you're doing and just say real quick, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe in the resurrection. Father, forgive my sins and save my soul. Help me, Lord, to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice if you did that, in just a moment, when we start singing this song, we want to celebrate with you. Please let me know. Just say, hey, look, I trusted Jesus. We're not going to embarrass you or anything. We just want to have a good celebratory time together. That's you. Now, for the rest of us, maybe the good Lord has stomped on a toe or two today. And maybe you have some of them hard-fought, been-through-hells, but you hadn't had many of the hallelujahs. Bring them all together. People need to hear your story. Because all of a sudden it becomes a hard-fought, heartfelt, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. When you say that, I pray that from this day forward, you will remember that when you say hallelujah, you are saying praise God. In fact, that's actually one of the words that, Lent? It's not to be said in Lent because the word Yahweh, which praise God, Yahweh, that's at the end, hallelujah, Yahweh. So holy. It means so much more than just a term. It's not just a word, it's who we are. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can we do that? Maybe some of us need to take some lessons from Paul and Silas, and in the midst of going through the trials by fire, we stop complaining and we start praising. We stop griping and we start lifting our voice in praise to one another. I will make you a promise. It will not only change your life, it will change the lives of those around you. I promise. Try it. I dare you. Listen, what's God spoken to you today? If you need me, I'm here. Listen, if you've trusted Jesus today, we want to celebrate with you. If he's calling you back and giving you a big old swift kick, he's got a story he wants you to tell. Let's go about telling it. Whatever you need. If you need this altar, it's here. Would you stand with me as we sing our invitation hymn number 312 as Brad comes to lead us?
Come home,
your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you seek the Lord, I pray that you truly would be able to say that as you leave this place, it is well with my soul. If not, you make sure that you do your business with God before you step out of this place. We're not promised our next breath, but also pray that you will leave here with a new understanding to raise your hallelujah to the Father in all that you do. As you seek the Master, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, as we continue to worship you, help us to be found faithful with the tithe and the offering. You have blessed us in so many ways that, Lord, there are ways you've blessed us that we don't even know about, but you've done so because we've been faithful. Lord, I pray that today as you watch what we do, just like in your word and the widow's mite, you watched what was going on, you know what's taking place. Lord, may we truly be found faithful to return to you the tithe and the offering because you want to bless us. You want to do something in our individual lives for being faithful. And Lord, you tell us that to try you. You give us the I dare you in your word. So Lord, help us to be faithful, to take you up on the offer, to be faithful to the tithe. Give us wisdom and knowledge in the ways to use it. And Father, we pray you'll bless the gift as well as the giver as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Biggie. Just a couple things, and then we'll get you on out of here. Birthdays we've got this week. Actually, today, Susan Wood has a birthday. There's Susan. Be sure to give her a hug, a handshake, like I say, cash, checks, whatever, will work good. Susan's birthday is today, then this coming Thursday, and Annette Vernon will be having a birthday. So be sure to give her a hug and hug her real tight because she has to put up with Mark. So she needs all the prayers she can get. And then as far as anniversaries, we have one coming up this week. That is Lindsay and Chris Harrell will be celebrating an anniversary this coming Thursday. So be sure to let these folks know that you love them. And as you see them, be sure to whisper a celebratory happy birthday or happy anniversary. Things we got going on for today, choir 4:45, starting back for heading into the fall. Your summer hiatus is over. Now it's time to go back to work. We'll also have the adult Bible study at 6 o'clock p.m. with Pastor David, room 5 down the hall on the left. Jim, are you guys still band-wise?
Next week.
Next week. Okay, so next week, you band members, enjoy your last moment of freedom because Jim is going to work you to death coming back. But next week, you'll start back to practice, which that will be after worship services on Sunday evening. So we call it 7 or thereabouts. So next week you guys will start back. So just as by way of something to remember, this coming Friday, starting at 5 o'clock p.m., the second floor of the Family Life Center is going to be closed pretty much to everybody because they're doing some floor restorations up there and will be reopened on Sunday morning. So if you've got anything you need to do on the second floor of the building over there, or anything you need to pick up or anything, get that because they're working on floors and everything else up there as far as strip, wax, and all that good stuff. But Sunday morning, we'll still be back up and rolling with no problem at all. Ladies Connections, you guys have your meeting is going to be on August the 6th at 4 o'clock p.m. here at the church, Family Life Center 116. And then your breakfast is going to be on August 14th, 9 a.m. at Cagney's on Friendly. And put this on your calendars as well, everyone. Awana will start back up on the 14th of September at 5:30. Now, our time is 5:30 to 6:30. So if you're interested in being able to help out with that, you can see Jana. She'll get you set up to work with some of our kids. It's a blast, man. We got the little ones all the way up through some of the high school. Judy's got the youngest ones, and I got the oldest ones. So there's a vast chasm between the two of us. Thank God for people like Judy who work with the babies. They're great. But at any rate, that again, the date on that will be September the 14th is when we will be starting Awana back up. So have I forgotten anything in particular or? Yes. Good deal. If you didn't hear Tammy, the nominating committee report is out in the narthex. You can pick a copy of that up. That will be voted on in the August business meeting, okay?
And bear in mind, when you look at it, there are still a few decisions that are not yet made, and you'll see that there are some yellow highlight markers that just show that there are a couple of decisions that haven't yet been made.
Okay. Once again, on that paper, you'll see some blocks that are highlighted in yellow. I think that's more fair to say you haven't heard back from the person yet as to whether or not they're going to serve. We're waiting on some decisions to be made in some of those areas. So pick that up. That will be voted on at our conference as well as the policies and procedures changes. I know you are tired of hearing me say that. Is that next week or 2 weeks? 2 weeks from today. You won't have to hear me say it anymore, but it is critical. These are our policies. Be sure to look through those. If you have questions, please hear me out. Contact either the church office or the chairman of the team that's whatever it is you have a question about. We would like to have all those things answered so that once we come in here, everybody's looked at the document and you've gotten your questions answered, and then we can vote and go eat. That's what we would like to see. That's what David would like to see. Now, don't get me wrong. We don't want you to be quiet, but the bottom line is let's take care of that before after church on Sunday 2 weeks from now. Let's get those questions answered because you know what? There may be some things that we would need to change, and David would have to know how to handle those things. So no document is perfect, so be sure to let us know. If you need a copy of that, contact the church office. We can email it to you, or if you need us to print it out for you, we can. We just didn't want to use, you know, reams and reams of paper because it's the whole policies and procedures manual. Once this is approved, I'm going to encourage everybody, throw away anything else you have, because too many times we get the old ones mixed up with the new ones, but a clean copy will be available in the office once we get approved on that, all right? So pick those copies up out there. Business meeting will be 2 weeks from today, immediately after our morning worship service. All right, anything else? David, come on up, brother. See us off in a word of prayer. And like I say, as always, correct anything that I've messed up or anything I've forgotten.
Just one thing. Last week we were not in Colfax on Wednesday eating our breakfast and fellowshipping on Wednesday, but we'll be back over there this Wednesday. They were closed last week, and we met in Kernersville, but we'll be back at the Olympic Restaurant at 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning. For any of you guys who want to come eat with us, it's not a Bible study. It's not a question and answer thing. It's just food and fellowship, and we'll have a good time doing it. Come join us. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Our Father, we just thank you so much for your love for us, for your watch care over us, for your protection in our lives, for your provision for our every need. Lord, we thank you so much for the message we've heard today. We pray that you'll help us to take it, apply it to our lives, and be a witness for you everywhere we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.